In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, Amen. I want to speak to you about discipleship in Christ's way. Firstly, discipleship is very important in our Christian life. The Lord Jesus Christ, in his great commission, said to his disciple, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." Amen. And the great commission is to make disciples. But we notice that is the Lord ordered them to make disciples from all nations, not from any specific group or any specific nation. And the aim of the discipleship is to be disciple to Christ, not to themselves. Teach them to observe all things I have commanded you. The Lord himself make disciples through his disciples. What Christ did and taught, the apostle preached and the father kept, as Saint Athanasius said. If we take the example of Saint Paul, then Paul emphasized the importance of the discipleship, and he described his relationship with the people he served by saying, "My little children for whom I am labor and birth again until Christ is formed in you." So he considered that is this pastoral care is like a forming them. But what is the purpose of forming them? Is that Christ is formed in you. And he himself spoke about himself saying, "I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me." And he told the people of Corinth, "For though you might have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet you do not have many fathers. For in Christ Jesus I have begotten you through the gospel. Therefore, I urge you, imitate me." Then I will speak about 7 characteristics of discipleship in the way of Christ. Number 1, to make disciple for Christ, not for anyone else. The Lord Jesus Christ told his disciple, "Do not call anyone on earth your father, for one is your father, he who is in heaven, and do not be called teachers, for one is your teacher, the Christ." We understand this, that is, the only teacher for us is Christ. That's why when we write it in capital, teacher, he is the teacher. And even if we have many teachers, many fathers, but we have them within the one teacher who is our Lord. So we differentiate between the Lord as the teacher and the teacher who discipleship. So the apostle, the bishop, the priest, whom we call teacher and father, the only teacher in Christ who is our teacher. And our Lord commanded his disciple to make disciples, teaching them to observe all things I have commanded you. So to follow his teaching, not their own teaching. And this is different between the various teachers who have many schools, and every group follow the teacher of this school. But in Christianity or in Christian discipleship, there are no schools. The only one school is the school of the Lord Jesus Christ. St. Paul also mentioned that is the goal of the discipleship is until Christ is formed in you. And he also described the pastoral care, saying him, we, he mean by him Christ, we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. So it is dangerous to limit discipleship to one teacher to be the teacher or the older, the elder. St. Mark, for example, he was a disciple of Christ, but also he served with many apostles. He served with St. Barnabas and St. Paul, as it is mentioned in Acts 12:25. He also, St. Paul mentioned St. Mark in his letter to the Colossians, Colossians 4:10, as one of his assistants. St. Peter also mentioned St. Mark as his son in 1 Peter 5:13. So St. Mark is an example of a person. He is a disciple of Christ, but he did not limit himself to one person. He served with St. Paul, with St. Peter, with St. Barnabas. Silvanus also, he served with St. Paul, as is mentioned in 1 Thessalonians 1:1. And also he served with St. Peter, 1 Peter 5:12. And St. Peter mentioned him by Silvanus, our faithful brother, as I consider him, I have written to you briefly. So the apostle of Christ did not make disciples for themselves. Their disciple benefited from all the apostles, and they worked freely without boundaries with all the apostles. John the Baptist is a good example, that is, he made many disciples, but he guided them to leave him and to follow Christ. And when he was asked about this, he said about Christ, he must increase, but I must decrease. And he considered that his joy is fulfilled. He said, therefore, this joy of mine is fulfilled. St. Paul wrote to the Corinthians, saying, for I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus Christ, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. So when we speak about the Eucharist, he didn't speak about a teaching coming from him, but he delivered to them what he received. And this is discipleship. So we honor and follow the teaching of the Church Father, but not one Church Father. Church Father delivered with us the apostolic teaching, and we take them all the Father, the Spirit of the Father of the Church. While the heretics, they were named according to their teacher, like Arians, Nestorians. But we call the Christians because we follow Christ. And the Church is called apostolic, not because it is established by a certain apostle, even it is true historically for many churches, but the Church is called apostolic because it is established based on the apostolic teaching. So all the Church should be apostolic Church, with a historically established by an apostle or not. And St. Paul, he spoke about the Church and the believer, saying, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Jesus Christ himself, the chief cornerstone, in whom the whole building, being fitted together, grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in Ephesians 2:20-21. Secondly, to make disciples of all nations. Our Lord Jesus Christ commanded his disciple, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, Matthew 28:19. Not to limit discipleship to a certain group of people or a certain ethnic group or certain social group. Our Lord called the 12 and then the 70 from various backgrounds. In the book of Acts, the word disciple referred to all believers, not to a certain group, as in Acts 1:15, And in those days, Peter stood in the midst, and the disciples altogether number of names was about 120. And also in Acts 11:26, it said that and that the disciples were first called the Christians in Antioch. Of course, here the word disciple means all the believers. And as I said, they were called the Christians because they follow Christ. They are the disciples of Christ. So in Christianity, everyone is called to be a disciple. But in any cult, only specific groups are called to be the disciple, and only a specific group are called to join the discipleship program. Number three, to make disciples publicly. Our Lord called his disciples publicly. He taught in various public places. He sent his disciples to make disciples openly, to go to city, villages, roads, houses. But in a cult depends on a secret meeting to make disciples. A cult instructs its disciples not to reveal what is done in private meeting, which, while Christian discipleship is done in light and open to everyone, and everyone is called to join. Number four, to make disciples within the church. Our Lord Jesus Christ appeared to Saul and called him to be his disciple, and said to him to the church, to Ananias, to be baptized. He did not baptize himself. And he stayed with the disciple in Damascus, as it is written in Acts 9:19. And Barnabas took him to the apostle, and he stayed with them. Before starting his service, the Holy Spirit said, "Now separate to me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them." Then they, having fasted and prayed and laid hand on them, they sent them away, as it's mentioned, Acts 16:2-3. So St. Paul preached, and he made many disciples in various countries. Nevertheless, he went up to Jerusalem, and he went up by revelation. Then after 14 years, I went up again to Jerusalem with Barnabas and Titus with me. I went up by revelation and communicate to them that gospel which I preach among the Gentiles, Galatians 2:1-2. Why he went? Lest by any means I might run or had run in vain. Galatians 2:2. So St. Paul, who is called by Christ, he went to go to Jerusalem to present his teaching, to be sure that is what he was teaching is the follow with the teaching of the apostle, to follow the teaching of Christ. To whom he went to James, Cephas, and John, who seemed to be pillars, as he said in Galatians 2:9. And what was the outcome of this meeting? They gave Paul and Barnabas the right hand of fellowship. And so St. Paul, who was called by Christ directly, and he wrote Paul, apostle, not from men or through man, but through Jesus Christ, the same St. Paul, he went up to Jerusalem by revelation to present his teaching and to receive and received approval from the three pillars. And we also notice that St. Paul criticized St. Peter in the same letter of the Galatians. Now, when Peter had come to Antioch, I withstood him to his face because he was to be blamed. So St. Paul criticized St. Peter and considered what he did was hypocrisy. Nevertheless, he considered his authority as one of the pillars, three pillars, and even there was some weakness at the church leadership, as St. Paul described it. St. Paul continued to consider their authority, and it was not an excuse for him to go outside the church and to form a parachurch organization or organization outside the church to make discipleships. So the leaders who guide the discipleship should be canonical leaders accepted by the church, as St. Paul did. Number five, to make disciples according to church rules. Discipleship in Christ's way is done according to the church canon. All leaders or teachers to be canonically accepted, not excommunicated. In the early church, the apostolic succession and the canonicity of the leader was very, very important. And a bishop should reveal who ordained him and to be sure about the one who ordained him to have apostolic succession. The clergy also are to be at the center of the discipleship. One of the rules of the church is the canonicity of the leader, to be canonically, not excommunicated. Number two, the clergy to be at the center of the discipleship, to marginalize the role of the priest as a father of confession, and turn the leadership of discipleship program to be run by lay people or people who are excommunicated. It is against the canon of the church. So our Lord Jesus Christ entrusted his disciple to go and make disciples of all nations. And he chose them. He sent them. But in a cult depend on a charismatic leader, whether this leader is clergy or not, canonical or not. But discipleship according to Christ should be led by canonical leader, and the role of the clergy should be a central role. Number six, discipleship under the guidance of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit works through the sacrament of the church. The Holy Spirit works through the canonical church leader, not through individuals. In the early church, no one claimed that he is the one who inspired by the Holy Spirit. And the apostles, they work together. And for example, to face the problem of circumcision, they gather together. Now the apostles and the elders came together to consider this matter. And they discuss it. St. Peter spoke, St. Paul spoke, St. Barnabas, and James at the end. But the decision came. Not one of them stood and said, the Holy Spirit appeared to me and told me to do that. But they said, for it seemed good to the Holy Spirit and to us. So all the apostles together, they came together to express the decision which is taken. Lastly, discipleship without going to the extreme. The guidance for Christian discipleship keep balance between asceticism, like fasting, kneeling, and the spiritual growth. To focus on asceticism without spiritual growth lead to imbalance, which hinder the disciple from growing in a balanced way. In a cult, the discipleship focus on the physical things and go to the extreme thing, especially fasting, sleeping on the floor, abstain from intimate relationship for married people, leaving the family, to be isolated from the other, not to have a relation with a friend. And such a kind of cult discipleship does not care for virtues like humbleness, love, humility, and which is lead, that is to find a person who is very ascetic, but at the same time very angry. He's very ascetic, but is not kind with people. He's not dealing with people. His relationship with the family be difficult. And he or she convinced himself as if this is the right way. So while discipleship is very important, but discipleship should be done in Christ's way, should to make disciple for Christ, not for anybody else, to make disciple for all people, not to be limited for a certain group of people, to make disciple publicly, not to go to secrets and private meeting, to make disciple within the church, not to go outside the church, to make disciples under the guidance of the Holy Spirit, which work through the sacrament of the church, and to make disciple according to the church rules, and lastly, to make disciples with a balance in guidance. May the Lord help us to fulfill the commandment of the Lord Jesus Christ to go and to make disciples and to teach them to observe all the commandment of the Lord, to whom is glory now and forever. Amen.